Support for Almost Entirely Sports is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Here's what we can do for you. We have an exclusive offer for listeners to Almost Entirely Sports. It's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALMOST on any order at manscaped.com. It's an incredible deal for an incredible product. Listen, over the course of our future, maybe we'll get into more or less detail whenever talking about our experience with Manscaped, but I can tell you firsthand, they hooked us up. They sent out a box for me and Beards and Rudy, and apparently Beards this whole time was a Manscaped user and never told us, which has just really brought on more questions than answers at this point. But I have now used the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, and everything in their Perfect Package 3.0 is absolutely unbelievable. Everything the ads say have been 100% true. It truly is a best-in-class grooming experience. Plus, if you do go get their Perfect Package, they'll also give you a pair of high-performance Manscaped boxer briefs that are incredible and will keep everything feeling fresh all day long, and a travel shed bag to put all your grooming goodies inside of. Also, the bag is incredible. I promise you, this is something that all of us were so excited to get and have been so impressed by whenever we did the unboxing on the show, whenever it got here to the station. Everybody at Manscaped has been great. The product is impeccable, and I'm really, really excited about being able to bring you a deal for 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. You can support the show and get a great product from Manscaped, really supporting yourself, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of double entendres throughout this read. I don't know if you caught that or not. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code ALMOST. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Isn't this a sports show?
1999, Mike Maslowski.
Yep.
Who I believe came to the aforementioned high school that I played football at.
Yes.
One day, randomly, I don't know.
Went on to star in Monsters, Inc.
Almost entirely.
I broke Josh.
I can't do this radio show anymore.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I simply can't. These are hostile work conditions. I can't be forced to work like this. I can't be forced to work like this. I am just sitting back in my chair staring at the sky, hoping that God's hand comes through the ceiling and takes me home.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the reputation of this show, because of you, Rudy, has
increased.
Been... Nope, I think, Rudy, that
trending up.
The reputation of the show, because of you, has been sullied.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's hard to do a radio show after being brought back to the peak of human anger, which is what that intro does, but I'm going to power through one way or another. Remember how at the end of... Spoiler alert for Monsters, Inc. Remember how at the end of Monsters, Inc. they find out that actually laughter is... You can zoom out a little bit there, Beards. My God.
I know,
God.
I'm working on it.
I've only been in this chair for 45 minutes, Beards. Sorry for lashing out. Bad energy to start the show again. How are we on a 400-day streak? You know, at the end of Monsters, Inc., they found out, spoiler alert, that that laughter is like more potent than screams.
I don't think that's true.
That's how the film essentially ends.
Yeah, I don't think that's right.
And I feel like Rudy is still trying to harvest scream energy. And if he worked for maybe more laughter energy, maybe you wouldn't be so tired all the time, Rudy, because you could get laughter instead of getting pure uncut rage.
It's not my fault that you just don't appreciate what I bring to the table.
You know what? In a very literal sense, I think that's true. I'll give you that one. Welcome in to Almost Entirely Sports. I'm doing the intro, Rudy.
I fixed the Facebook thing for you. We're getting
you
Facebook,
the Facebook
comments.
Thing?
Yeah, I did.
The Facebook
I actually
thing.
Didn't do anything, but I noticed that it was fixed all of a sudden today. But I'm going to take the credit for it.
I think that's okay. Both you and Beards take so much unearned blame that I think you're both due a little bit of unearned credit.
Yep.
I think the scales only, it's only reasonable for the scales to tilt in your favor that way every once in a while.
To be fair, it still didn't move any.
What didn't, it didn't move?
The scale didn't really, it didn't really move.
No, but if somebody looks over at the credit side of it, they'll see something there, you know?
Really, really,
Arby's
really,
has
really
crinkle fries
print.
Now? What? Why? I got some drafts to talk about in a few minutes here. Really, just as soon as I solve this mystery. Mm-hmm. But we're watching basketball on the TV here, and I looked up, and I saw an ad from Arby's that they have crinkle cut fries. Who is that for? I'm genuinely perturbed by this. If you would go to Arby's and order the crinkle cut fries, frankly, I'm not sure I want to associate with you, personally or professionally. Who? Right? Am I crazy? Am I the crazy one here? I think crinkle cut fries are good, but Arby's like has an icon. It would be like Chick-fil-A. So yeah, we got crinkle cut fries now. No, you're the waffle fry place. Arby's, you're the curly fry place. Sonic, I love Sonic. I get the ding dang tater tots, but at least for them, they've got like numerous choices as like a standard. Arby's has potato cakes. What was your question going to be, Beards?
I was going to say, is this out of a hatred for crinkle cut fries? But then
no.
You answered it.
No. I would say I'm generally pro crinkle cut. I've told you, I think my all-time gold medalist French fries, the crinkle cut fries at 3-2. The baseball park for children and teens.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible French fries there. They're crinkle cut. But why would Arby's need crinkle cut fries? If neither of you have the answer, that's fine. I guess I don't have the answer myself, so I don't really know why I thought either of you would have it. But
I mean, guess cater to everybody.
But you're the curly fry place, though. It would be like if we started doing, if we're like, all right, and now for 1 week only, this show's going to do a whole lot of golf talk.
Just wait till the Masters.
Rudy, I have some upsetting news about the Masters. They ended like a week ago.
How'd Tiger do?
I
hear his driving was a little off.
Rudy is so happy.
I'm proud
with
of
himself.
That one.
he's so happy with himself.
I'm proud of that one.
I don't think you should be. I think you should be ashamed.
Nah, that's pretty good.
Even I had a joke that I just said, you know what, Brain? Not today.
It's been enough time.
You're not going to get me in trouble today,
Has
Brain.
It?
It's been enough time.
Has it?
It's been like
a
month.
He's home. He's all, you know what? He's in pain. It's a recovery. He's all right.
He didn't
be honest,
lose his left leg or
It's
anything.
Not the worst thing that's happened to him, probably.
That's just not. I just didn't expect.
That's pretty good.
This to be the way this show started.
I mean, I wasn't
at all.
Expecting it either, but it was there. You said golf. I knew it was going with Masters. Once you said golf, I was like, okay, here's my game plan. Let's see if we can execute it. And we executed it.
We didn't do anything.
We executed it perfectly.
You did all of that.
You played a part. An unknowing part.
Unwillingly. And
but
also,
it was a part.
Important to note. I wish this show could get out of the woods.
That was good.
It wasn't. I just needed anything. Here's the thing. This is going to be the strange sort of pace of today's show. We'll talk about a variety of things here. Also, I want to talk about draft strategy a little bit. Because we got into it a little bit last night. This is our last almost entirely sports of the week. Sporting Kansas City's home opener will be on the air tomorrow night.
Oh, that is true, isn't it?
It
yeah,
is.
I forgot it was Thursday again. I've forgotten it's Thursday about 10 times today.
Also, I was looking at our podcast page to pull some numbers earlier, and I was about to say to Beards, like, wow, Rudy's titles have been really good on the podcast lately. Like, there have just been some really choice cuts there.
Yeah.
And then Rudy came in, and so I decided I wasn't going to say it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to gas Rudy up a little bit. And then I noticed that about half of the recent podcasts had the wrong date at the end.
The last week has been a struggle.
I mean, I get it, but...
By last week, I guess, at this point, it's more than a week. Because, again, I just forgot it's also Thursday. I was thinking it was, like, Tuesday, and we're going back this week and last week.
I keep thinking it's Wednesday.
Yeah, it's rough. This week and last week, dates have been a struggle.
You guys just have to stop... Can I tell you the secret on this, and then we can talk about other stuff?
Can I tell you something too?
Last night. What?
You can't
play an Uno reverse card on me.
Yeah.
This
is about this. Last night I posted the first hour.
Skip.
And I put today's date last night, but I recognized that one like immediately. I was like, oh bleep, I think I messed up and put the wrong date. I just didn't catch the other like 10 of them.
Draw four.
Uno.
Oh, you weren't making a Skip Bayless joke there.
No, I wasn't. It was an Uno joke.
What were you going to say,
my
Josh?
My secret. Thank you, Beards. Really, I'll tell you what. Two things are happening tonight. One is that Beards has decided that he's going to be a good teammate while Rudy plays defense on the show. And also,
that's because Boston's beating Phoenix bad right now.
Are they?
Yeah, by like 20.
That's not true.
Is the game even on? Is it not the second game of the
53-37, so like 15.
Jeez,
Boston doesn't
even
have Jaylen Brown.
Holy smokes.
Better without Jaylen Brown. You sure he's an all-star, Beards?
Celtics must be playing all those draft picks they've been hoarding for the last decade.
Did they trade for Anthony Davis all of a sudden?
That's what it would take to explain that. What I was going to say is that you guys have to just completely let go of the concept of days of the week and have a Google Calendar. It'll ping you an hour before you have to do anything.
Yeah.
And you can pull up your pants and get in the car, and as long as you can get there within an hour, you're fine.
The weird part is too, and like this is doubling down.
What the hell is happening to the Suns right now?
Doubling down on my mess up is I'm pretty sure like on all those days I clicked on my calendar to pull up the date to like see what the number was. I still got it wrong, and that's not because my calendar's wrong. It's right, I think. Yep, Thursday, April 22nd. I think I can't read numbers anymore, I guess.
I mean, I think Beard's Highway just said Rudy's just broken, because that's, I think, pretty undeniably true.
Movie's going good, though.
That's
good.
I've
gotten more packed than I thought I would. Gotten rid of quite a bit of stuff.
The Suns don't have Jay Crowder. It's pretty much,
they're not really the Suns at that point.
That's right. I mean, yeah, this is basically a G League team without Jay Crowder. The Suns' 37 points in the first half is a new season low. They've gotten more turnovers, 9, than assists, 8, down 16. So.
Doesn't seem good.
No, it doesn't. That is why Beards isn't a good... Damn, I thought Beards was just being helpful today.
No.
I thought Beards was turning a new leaf.
No.
He just has good Celtics energy.
Yeah.
By the way, hey, Beards, you know what's going to happen even if the Celtics win this game tonight?
What's that,
They're
going
to be behind the Knicks in the East.
I know.
So, Travis Kelce gif, walking past that referee.
The Kentucky Knicks.
Can we get through? I think Rudy has gotten a Kentucky mention in like 50 consecutive shows at this point.
You brought up the Knicks, and their best players are Kentucky Wildcats right now. So that's, what do you expect me to say?
I thought Beard is going to have a joke about how, oh, I didn't know that blah, 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 blah was a wildcat. That's what Beard sounds like to me.
I think I've told this before how, like, Kentucky fans don't have, like, a favorite NBA team. Like, it literally just changes every year based off what team that offseason signed the most wildcats and slash draft, and this year was the Knicks.
I just got a tweet from Caleb on Twitter that just said half of at JB Briscoe's content is Arby's at this point. And that's totally fair. Just know that this one was an accident, though. Like, yeah. I didn't expect this one to come. This one just literally showed up on my TV while I was trying to mind my own business and watch Bucks and Sixers.
You were just sitting there watching a basketball game, and an Arby's crinkled fry came up and slapped you in the face.
Yeah,
said,
you
hey,
did not
look
mention
at me.
That. That's just, it's a travesty. I don't even care if you don't like curly fries. Just get the potato cakes. Or hey, how about this? Don't go to Arby's.
She's like, man, I don't like roast.
This is Beards again, I guess.
I don't like roast beef.
This is basically Kermit to Mahomes sort
slash
of
Beards
slash maybe eventually turning to Bill Clinton, as everyone in my impression says.
Bill Clinton, Spags, or
I don't want to be Bill Clinton.
Pennywise, one of the three.
I don't want to be Bill Clinton, you guys.
Well.
Yeah, but if you go, if you're like, bro, I don't like roast beef sandwiches or curly fries. I wish Arby's had something for me. They probably do, but also don't go to Arby's. I wish I just got a fried chicken, chocolate chip cookies. Cool, beer, go to Slim's. That's fine. Don't go to Arby's and say, I demand a grilled chicken sandwich and crinkle cut fries.
But why not?
And I want a Frosty, even though I'm not at Wendy's. If you want a roast beef sandwich and curly fries and a Jamocha shake, you go to Arby's.
Chick-fil-A.
Where's the Whopper?
And if you want freaking waffle fries and a salad, you're out of luck.
Give me the double down sandwich. Where is that?
Oh, man, that thing. I had a heart attack when I ate that thing.
You might as well go to Arby's and say, hi, yeah, can I get some Chick-fil-A sauce with my McNuggets? And they'll say, no, you can't. This is an Arby's. Why are they selling crinkle cut fries? And they're also a dollar. And so, yeah, would I eat them? Absolutely.
Is that a dollar or are they a dollar extra?
I think it's $1 for like a small one. And yeah, of course I would eat them because I like fried potato things.
Yeah.
I had Taco Bell for dinner tonight. Yeah. They have two new like dollar or $1.50 burritos. I got both of them.
I've heard they're very good.
The chicken was pretty good. The beef one was not as good. It's worth the extra 50 cents for the chicken one. I enjoyed it. I'm not a snob, but I didn't go to Taco Bell and say, I want curly fries.
Should have. They have them.
They don't. Also, they're a little chicken sandwich experiment. Not on the menu anymore. It was a month ago that they were, like, launching.
Yeah.
We apparently missed that window, and they were not there for very long. Taco Bell's shot across the bow in the chicken sandwich wars was apparently returned with just a hailstorm of cannonballs. Because they got out of there quickly.
With a no thank you?
So you're saying I could have went to Taco Bell and asked for chicken, and they would have given it to me. It just probably would have been bad.
Well, yeah, theoretically, yeah.
So how do you know that Arby's doesn't have some sort of, like, chicken strip special meal?
Can I just say they do? Can I say this about Taco Bell really quick? Here's something I just realized. Specifically for the Taco Bell that we can most often frequent, and then I swear I've got a draft take. But if I went to Taco Bell, because, you know, Taco Bell's got their nacho fries, which are not so good. And they've got these chicken sandwiches that disappeared very quickly, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
It should have been a, you know what, maybe it was like a honeypot. Because it should be a crime to go to a half Taco Bell, half KFC, and say, you know what I want? A chicken sandwich and some fries. I'm going to go to the Taco Bell side.
That's a good point.
Right?
I hadn't thought about that. That's like, a good point.
KFC's got really good fries now.
Yeah.
They've got a new sandwich that's very much in the vein of the Chick-fil-A, Popeye's chicken sandwich war. They had an entrance. It's not perfect, but it's a pretty good sandwich. Their signature dipping sauce, did not enjoy. But if you want fries and a chicken sandwich and you go to the Taco Bell drive-thru whenever the other side of the parking lot, not even the other side of the building, is a KFC drive-thru. Mm-hmm. That one's on you. You have made a mistake.
Well, can you even imagine just like walking into the Kentucky Hut?
Yes.
And making eye contact with the poor person behind the KFC register, walking over, continuing eye contact, going past them to the Taco Bell side and going, as you're still looking at the KFC person, hi, yes, I'd like a chicken sandwich, please.
Yeah.
And then just both of them are confused looking at each other, like, from who? Who do you want?
I would like a chicken sandwich and some fries. What you have to do is you have to stand directly between the two lines and then stare at the perfect middle.
Whoever gets there first.
And just shout, hello, I would like some chicken in a sandwich form and some French fries. And if the Taco Bell side gets it done first, I guess, then you have to eat it. So strange. So weird.
By the way, what I laughed at very quickly, a Twitch comment from Ice Pyro. He called your impression of me Gridiron Heights Beards.
Oh!
Yeah.
I saw him say Gridiron Heights Beards, and I was like, oh, is there a new Gridiron Heights out, like a pre-draft one? And what he meant, I think that tracks.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Yeah.
Also, the general consensus right now on Twitch is from G.E. Metzel. Ready for the draft. Ice Pyro, can the draft be tonight, please?
Yes.
Is the draft not tonight?
Oh, my God.
Is this not the draft show?
We're so far away.
Where's Seren?
We're so far.
Are we not Seren?
Yeah. I would say the last 20 minutes of this show, pretty much indistinguishable with a good opening segment of the program. What are you talking about?
You don't think Seren would have a good Arby's take?
Oh, I think you absolutely. Oh, yeah, okay. I just think it would show up later in the show.
That's fair.
By accident. Better. And it would definitely be better. I don't. You know what, though? Because Seren has... I'm trying not to overstate it. I don't want to sound like a suck-up. But Seren might have like
the who's a great man.
No, no, I'm saying I don't want to sound like a suck up. I want to sound like, oh, I see what you're doing. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that's on me. I didn't understand what you were doing there, Beards. Seren, you know, not only is he incredibly handsome. No, but I think he's got maybe like the best fastball in just that exists in radio, or at the very least, he's out there throwing heat with the best of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seren with the fastball.
He's Josh Stomont, just 100.
You're just not 100. You're not gonna touch it. It's just gonna get by you. It's gonna blow by you. It's gonna be, and everyone's gonna go, "Wow, what a fastball!" But I think the only topic in the world where I would say, you know what, I think I can go toe to toe with Seren in terms of despondent rage and absolute exasperation is Arby's debuting a French fry that is not a curly fry, much less a crinkle cut. I'm not sure there's anyone on the planet Earth that could be as upset about that as I am right now. It just doesn't make any damn sense. That and also going to Taco Bell KFC and standing directly in between both lines, staring at the ceiling and then just saying, "Chicken me."
I mean, that actually sounds fun.
I actually would like that. I think they might call the police. If you want,
I will not leave until somebody chickens me.
You walk into a KFC, Taco Bell, and you know bonus points into Pizza Hut. Yeah, yeah.
You contact with the wall.
No, I think it's got to be ceiling now. I'm not at this point attached to ceiling. Plant your feet straight up into the sky and just yell, "Somebody chicken me!" I think that's a powerful visual.
You just hear off to the side.
Is that crispy?
Like, sir, this is a Wendy's.
It's like, well, that shouldn't be a problem then, though. It was also a Wendy's. That would make sense because they do chicken pretty regularly. Do you know what this segment was going to be about? The segment was going to be
You mean
about,
this wasn't in the show notes?
It was
this
not in the show. This was not in the show notes.
Can't think of anything.
This segment was going to be about NFL draft strategy. And then Rudy made a joke.
Good one, by the way.
About Tiger Woods and his bad driving. And this is how the segment went.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Burger was fine. Burger was pretty good. The fries, however, they were the little shoestring, super thin, super floppy fries. Get out of here with that. That's nasty.
Oh, no. Interesting.
Get out of here.
You're
those
throwing
fries.
Those to the bottom of your list.
Oh, get out of here.
Okay. I thought for sure.
I need crunch in my fries.
Oh, they weren't crunchy shoestring fries?
No, they're just little floppy things that you like pick them up and they just kind of go bloop. They just drip down.
Flaccid fries.
They're useless.
You don't. Beards does not like a flaccid fry.
Get out of here.
Say that sentence out loud.
I, Beards McFly, do not like my fries flaccid.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Two pieces of NBA news real quick. One, Devin Booker has gotten at least two really weak offensive foul calls, and Beards, this game has an asterisk. I want you to know that this game has an asterisk to me.
It's because Jaylen Brown's not playing. Celtics should win one more.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown and Jay Crowder pretty much a wash. And also, Rudy said he saw that Anthony Davis is playing tonight.
Yes.
Right now, the Lakers' first-round matchup would be against the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
And now we've all gotten a little sad.
Nuggets haven't lost since Jamal Murray got hurt, which is not, like, they're going to win.
So it's the Ewing theory.
No, they'll win. They're going to win plenty of regular season games and then probably lose in the first round of the playoffs, like 4-1.
You got to win in a game. Wow.
Yeah, probably.
Homer.
More. LeBron will take game 4 off.
I've got one tweet that I'm going to read from Joe on Twitter.
Actually, they'll win game 1, get my hopes up, and then lose 4 in a row to break it.
Josh knows not to look a gift horsey in the mouth in response to our conversation about Arby's with their horseradish sauce that is known as horsey sauce.
Do we need to call Nick Schwert and get his impression about these?
He just texted me, and it started with, "Apologies if you're on the air right now." If only there was some way to check, Nick. If only if there was some way to check. Yeah, Nick, I'll do your show tomorrow. But I'm not going to text you about it. You got to listen to the podcast. And then text me what time. I want to get at least a little bit into a pre-draft conversation. We'll probably talk about it more next week as well. But I saw our friend Ethan Douglas of The Athletic was tweeting about this and quote tweeted something from Robert Mays, also of The Athletic. And it's actually something that we kind of stumbled into a little bit last night that I really enjoyed as a conversation piece and as something that is forever going to be a sort of frustrating fight, I can tell. I'm just at this point kind of accepting this is going to be a part of my lot in life. But I want to read a couple of things here from what Robert Mays quote tweeted. This is with the Ravens GM. We've probably had the most picks over that span, he said, in response to a New York Post story that had the Ravens as the top drafting team in the NFL over the past 5 years. I look at the draft, and in many ways, I have to say it's a luck-driven process. If you have more picks, then you're going to hit on more good players. That goes back to a philosophy that I think Ozzie Newsome started back in 1996. We started really going back after comp picks. We tried to trade back as much as we could in any given round. Then here is a headline, also from The Athletic. Why does Colts GM Chris Ballard trade down so often? Because it works. And also David Gettleman refuses to trade back. Those are the three things that Robert Mays had screenshotted and retweeted, and this is what Ethan said. So this revelation would go a long way in Kansas City, in my opinion. Beach has 5 trade ups, 0 trade downs. Unless it's a quarterback, the chance your guy, quote unquote, is better than the alternative is just too low to be worth it. And he points at Speaks and Hardman as being a couple of recent examples. Mm-hmm. One other thing that I saw somebody mention, somebody tweeted this, and I think that I agree with him, generally speaking. I think it was somebody in my mentions. Apologies for not having that pulled up. They said, all of Veach's trade-ups except for Derek Nnadi have been, I think they said, a disaster. You could soften it and say have been not worth it. The funny thing is the Chiefs gave up a fourth-round pick 122, to move up 11 spots from 86 to 75. Nnadi may or may not have been there at 86. And even as Derek Nnadi is a continual, like, legitimate, good player who has produced well for the Chiefs, mm-hmm. has been a good part of a defensive line that has a role for him, he cost a third and a fourth round pick. And that's the success story, right?
Yeah.
Trading up for Breland Speaks was a disaster. And not just here's one thing that I want to make relatively clear. I try to, generally speaking, not have it's funny that I say generally speaking. I try to, generally speaking, not have really hard and fast rules that I just say, I'll never break this rule. This is what I'm always gonna go for. I'm always of this mindset. I think generally you need to have rules that give you something to break whenever you have a reason to break them. Ethan even points out, hey, this doesn't track for quarterbacks. Yes. If you've got a quarterback on your board, you are better off getting that guy as opposed to waiting for quarterbacks to trickle to you because they usually go higher and also that value really can, that needle really can move.
If you love a guy, if you love a quarterback, go get him.
You should probably go get him.
Yeah.
Now, if the Ravens would have done that in 2018, they might not have been able to wait until the end of the round to end up with Lamar Jackson. I think they did trade back up into the first round for Jackson, I believe.
The Patriots had pick 32. They moved up to 32 to get him.
But if you say, you know, is it worth trading up into the top 10 or 15 there? Or in that case, they kind of waited and kind of went up and got their guy?
Yeah.
Sort of a little bit of both there, actually, yeah. But with that being said, I'm going to give some flexibility, and we're going to find places we can break some of these rules. But the issue for Breland Speaks was twofold. You can say, well, listen, them trading up for Speaks wasn't the problem. The problem was that they drafted a player who wasn't on the team a year and a half later, whatever it ended up being, 2 years later. And that's true. The issue wasn't that they drafted Mecole Hardman. The issue wasn't they traded up for drafting Mecole Hardman. So they drafted Mecole Hardman instead of taking DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. They would have traded up for Metcalf. Sure.
It'd be a little different story. Yeah.
But that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
That's kind of the point. The logic of trading up is I'm going to go up and get, quote unquote, our guy. When in reality, moving up those 10 spots or whatever to get the edge that you would prefer as opposed to the guy that you'll get 10 picks later, The logic is that the cost of that move up is paying off in certainty, or at the very least is paying off in terms of ceiling. When in reality, that is an impossibly difficult thing to handicap that way.
Mm-hmm.
It is impossibly difficult to say, we're going to trade up for Mecole Hardman instead of staying put with our original pick, which you're going to be annoyed by the names that end up going there. And it's not just that it's DK Metcalf several picks later. A bunch of receivers ended up going right in that range. I'm going to rattle off their names in a second. And some of them are relative successes. Some of them are relative failures. One of them is DK Metcalf. The issue isn't, hey, man, if they would have traded up and taken DK Metcalf, this would be fine. Or if they would have traded up an extra five spots and taken A.J. Brown, then no one would be complaining. The issue is we don't know which of those guys are going to be highlighted on the Wikipedia page 2, 3, 4, 5 years later. Hardman is as a returner, which is kind of funny. But A.J. Brown goes 51. The next receiver off the board, the Chiefs trade up for Mecole Hardman. They give up a fifth for five spots. They give up a fifth-round draft pick to move up from 56 to 61. They take Hardman. Next pick, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who ends up going to Philly. He is not A.J. Brown. He is not D.K. Metcalf. I off the top of my head, can think of more frustrated tweets that I've seen from Eagles fans about him than celebratory ones.
Born in Spain, by the way.
I actually just learned that by hovering over his name just now.
Yeah, well, fun fact for you.
Two picks later at 59, Paris Campbell goes to the Colts.
Not born in Paris.
Are you sure?
No, actually.
I'm guessing it's very unlikely.
Akron, Ohio. Oh, he went to, fun fact, went to the same high school as LeBron James, St. Vincent, St. Mary.
So he goes 59. Again, by no means.
The parents of Ohio, some say.
By no means totally changing the game for the Colts, right? The Colts still need receiving help. Paris Campbell didn't solve that any more than Mecole Hardman solved it for the Chiefs, any more than J.J. Arcega-Whiteside solved that for the Eagles. Three picks later, one pick after the Chiefs' original pick at 62, Andy Isabella goes to the Cardinals. I like Andy Isabella. Mm-hmm. He would probably do good things in the Chiefs' offense. Would you trade him for Mecole Hardman right now? Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not.
I think that like Andy Isabella has done very little in Arizona. I tend to think Andy Isabella would be doing basically what Mecole Hardman is doing if he was a Chief.
That's probably fair.
Like you can look at their numbers, and Mecole Hardman has been better than Andy Isabella has been. Like, just if you look at the numbers. But I tend to think part of that is, you know, the team that he's on. And I mean, hey, the Cardinals are, they have a coach who's an offensive genius, who's perceived as an offensive genius, good young quarterback. They have other weapons. I tend to think Andy Isabella would be doing very similar things to Mecole Hardman.
Also, it could be kind of interesting to see what he does with Larry Fitzgerald out in Arizona.
Yeah.
And we'll see. After that, the Chiefs pick again, take Juan Thornhill.
Good player.
Excellent player.
Yeah.
And the next is DK Metcalf. Then two picks later, Deontay Johnson and Jalen Hurd go back-to-back. Not Hurts, Hurd. Two other receivers, and then another receiver doesn't go till Terry McLaurin, a handful of picks after that.
And Deontay Johnson, like he's a guy who honestly kind of gets slept on a little bit.
Absolutely.
In this card, because you look at DK Metcalf, you look at Terry McLaurin. Deontay Johnson, if I remember it, I believe he's had some drop problems. But he's caught a lot of balls too. I believe he's had a little bit of a drop problem. But also, like, he's doing the thing that Mecole Hardman was kind of expected to do. He is going down the field and catching the ball, like, far down the field.
By the way, Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, went 25 in this year's draft we're talking about here. N'Keal Harry went 32. Deebo Samuel went 36. The best receiver in this draft class. Well, either way, I'm going to make somebody angry. Mm-hmm. The two best receivers in this draft class, A.J. Brown and DK Metcalf, went 51 and 64. The Chiefs traded up for a receiver smack dab in the middle at 56. I would argue that I think Terry McLaurin at 76 is probably third on my board. Hollywood Brown, I think, is enticing, but he hasn't produced quite like Terry McLaurin has.
I think you got that. You have that ordered down, right?
Your three best receivers from this class go 51, 64, 76. The crapshoot of it all, fine, all right? And by the way, the Chiefs then later, they could have stayed there and then taken their choice of McLaurin or DK Metcalf after taking Juan Thornhill if they wanted, whatever. Or just before taking Juan Thornhill. Mm-hmm. Or they could have taken Thornhill at 61, and those options would have still been there at 63. Okay, Josh, you've now read lots of receiver names of one specific draft class. And by the way, I think if you hone in on one position group and one draft class, you are not going to do enough work on the whole. But also, whenever we talk about analytics in mass or large sample sizes, one of the things that Seth Kizer always brings up is, well, what about the specific situation? Can you always extrapolate the big picture to an individual thing? At this point, I'm just talking about this one situation because I think it's a really interesting one, specifically with these receivers.
Also, real fast, and this is not quite the same because he was drafted much later. Hunter Renfro's done basically giving you pretty similar production to Mecole Hardman. He was a fifth-round pick.
The Chiefs traded up for Mecole Hardman, and extenuating circumstances of not knowing how Tyreek Hill's day was going, right? Oof. But
wild times.
They traded up for Mecole Hardman because that was their guy. And then after their guy went, shortly thereafter, there are some very comparable receivers and a couple of definitely better receivers that went. I don't really care which element of this you want to dig into. You can say the Chiefs traded up for the wrong guy, and that's fine, but that's just going to happen all the time. What I keep going back to is that they traded up there at all. And what you can do if you keep both of those picks, with those two picks, with the 61st and 167th pick that they gave up to go get Mecole Hardman, they got one wide receiver, right? Mm-hmm. They could have taken any of those dudes on the back end there. I'll make it DK Metcalf because I'm talking about the best options that came from this class. And they could have taken another receiver at 167 if they would have wanted to. They could have taken Darius Slayton, who is on an NFL roster, like, and he went just a little bit after that. He's the next receiver off the board.
Yeah, a player who went 208 in that draft, Scotty Miller.
Who
helped the Buccaneers win a Super Bowl.
And those are just they're just dudes, right? They're just pieces. Mm-hmm. But the best thing you can do for your draft strategy is to have more dudes, to have more pieces, to have more shots. I don't like the idea of comparing all these draft picks to lottery tickets because I think at that point it makes it borderline pure luck. And there is something to be said for the fact that, generally speaking, your sixth and seventh round picks don't pan out at the same rate as your first and second round picks. Mm-hmm. Some of that is the bias of you wanting those guys to work out. But there's a real talent and scouting science of that. But you are getting darts to throw. And you can practice darts. You can be really good at darts. This is an analogy I'm ripping off Twitter that I saw earlier today. But if you can admit that the target is a long ways away and it's moving and the bullseye is tiny, wouldn't you want to have more darts to throw? Even if, let's say, for the sake of the analogy, your sixth round darts, you're throwing from farther away than your first round darts. Because I think that's the logic that makes a ton of sense here. The other thing is I think a lot of people could say, well, you know, it's a sixth or a seventh round pick or whatever. Or really, it's probably a fourth or fifth round pick. Brett Veach's best work as a GM has been in those spaces. Mm-hmm. I'm basically skipping 2018 because it's largely irredeemable. But Nick Allegretti was a seventh round pick the Chiefs don't have this year because they traded back into the draft for Bo Pete Keys last year. Rashad Fenton is a sixth-round pick. Right now, he's the Chiefs' slot corner next year. Now, they threw a dart and missed in the third round that year with Colin Saunders, and they didn't have any other picks between the third-round pick of Saunders and the sixth-round pick of Rashad Fenton because they moved up to go get Mecole Hardman. But Rashad Fenton has value.
Yeah, been a good player for the Chiefs.
And he only shows up there because they had a couple of sixth-round picks. They took him and Darwin Thompson, both of the sixth-round picks. You cannot sing the praises of L'Jarius Sneed and then say, well, that fourth-round pick doesn't really matter. Because you could say, well, you know, maybe they would have taken him sooner. They wouldn't have had that fourth-round pick. Okay, well, now Lucas Niang is off the board. Maybe you're starting left tackle. Certainly the guy they want starting at right tackle next year. Well, could they have taken him in the second round? Sure. Willie Gay Jr. is their second-round pick who is expected to start at linebacker this year. Well, could they have taken Willie Gay Jr. in the first round? Yes. And it would have been fine. Which goes back to a previous conversation we may have had about the first-round pick they did make. But you can't say, oh, man, I love Mike Dana. I think Mike Dana is going to be the starter opposite Frank Clark this year. He's a fifth-round pick. And I am telling you, Mike Dana is a dude, right? He's mm-hmm. a rotational piece in a Spags defense. That has value to it. I wouldn't want to give Mike Dana up to move up five picks somewhere else for a guy that I think might have a better chance at succeeding than his most comparable next guy five picks down. Especially in this year's draft, by the way, when there's less film because some guys opted out of seasons, some teams opted out of seasons, you lost the FBS fall season. You look at all of your medicals are going to be different. You look at all of the different challenges the Chiefs have, and then also you look at the board that they're most likely to get at 31. If they have a chance to move back, and they may not, if they have a chance to move back at 31, they should do that. Because if you're going to take Liam Eichenberg at 31, or you say you got Eichenberg and Samuel Cosmi and Dylan Reduns or whatever, all there at 31, and you think those guys are all relatively close. I don't know if they think that, but if you do, well, then you can move back to 41 or 37, or you can move back to the 50s if you want. I don't really care. You're going to have that crop of like six dudes that I think are relatively comparable and will have, based on their situations and where they land and how they're asked to play and how they have to be used, they're all going to be starting with relatively similar chances of success. And if those chances really are similar, not identical, but just similar, I'd rather have a 100% extra chance of somebody in the third, fourth, or fifth round of that extra pick that I'm picking up, because you went from not having that selection to it being a guy that may or may not pan out. It's just adding chances for great successes like L'Jarius Sneed. Mm-hmm. If they, listen, it sounds like they really liked Lucas Niang, right?
Yeah.
If they would have gotten antsy halfway through that third round and they would have said, I'm really afraid that Niang's not going to be there and he's the last tackle we have on our board. All right, let's give up our fourth round pick to move up 15 spots to make sure we go get him right away. They'd have Lucas Niang and they wouldn't have L'Jarius Sneed. Or even if it was more likely that fifth round pick. Well, now the Chiefs are even thinner at defensive end because Mike Dana's not there. Trading this year, trading the sixth rounder they gave. Or, you know what? I said they didn't have a seventh because they traded up for Bo Pete Keys, and that's not true. It was a sixth last year to get up into the seventh last year. But they do have a bunch of sixths, and that seventh went somewhere else. The Chiefs have several of those. Those later picks have all gotten shuffled around. Not super important to the conversation. But it's just a really... And like even that move for Bo Pete Keys, they gave up a sixth-round pick to not have to contend with him on the free agent market if he would have hit it, which it would have been relatively likely. They drafted him 237.
I have it here. They traded, this year's sixth-round pick for to move up into the seventh round last year to get Bo Pete Keys.
I just think from a philosophical perspective, it's not that difficult to see the value here. If you look at the best picks of Brett Veach's time so far, if you want to make Lucas Niang a future Ring of Honor right tackle today, you can do it if you want. He was a third-round pick. Sneed was a fourth-round pick. Dana was a fifth. Juan Thornhill was the second pick they ended up making in that second round after they traded up to go get Mecole Hardman. Rashad Fenton in the sixth was more valuable than Colin Saunders in the third. Now, there's eventually a point of diminishing return, right? I don't think you should trade back until you have every pick in the seventh round and then just take 30-some straight dudes right there.
Yeah.
There is a point of diminishing return. But for Brett Veach, it might be even later than it is for most people if the success they've had so far is indicative of that. In reality, it's probably more indicative of the scheme and the type of players and how they've been used and how those guys have developed, and even then it's a lot of that is in fact a crapshoot. But if you're throwing darts and you have a chance to get more darts and you move back like one step for an extra dart to throw, that's good value. And honestly, I hope the Chiefs end up doing that. I hope the Chiefs end up doing that this draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and they're in a good spot too. And part of this, you know, is just waiting to see how the board falls, right? Because like the story was,
if Tevin Jenkins is there at 31, then I'm probably not saying this.
And there's also a deal where like wasn't the story last year the Chiefs were trying to trade down from 32. Nobody was really interested.
Yeah.
Here's the thing: at 31, there's always that chance the team's not being all that interested. Part of this depends on how the board falls. But the Chiefs are in a pretty good spot where this is usually this is a spot where you can see this happen, where all of a sudden a team who maybe needs a quarterback who didn't get that quarterback in the first eight picks or whatever, all of a sudden there's a guy there they like. Now maybe that guy this year is Kyle Trask. Maybe Mac Jones falls farther than we think. I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe it's Trey Lance falling farther than we think. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to fall that far. If somebody's trading up, it's probably Kyle Trask is more than likely it. But all of a sudden, you're in a situation where, again, a team who wasn't able to get one of the guys at the top in those first eight picks, but they want a quarterback, like what the Ravens did essentially.
They'd like
Lamar
to have
Jackson.
The fifth-year option.
Yes. Yeah. So they're like, hey, we need a quarterback. we want to draft a quarterback. They obviously don't. Let's move up to get this guy. And so much of that just depends, obviously, how the board falls. But they're in a good spot to move down in this year's draft.
And even if they can't move down, because again, it takes two, right? Yeah. That's, we've established that.
Yeah.
The inverse of that would be them trading up seven spots to go get Samuel Cosmi. You know, they give up a third round pick. Stand pat.
I'm with you, where unless it's for a quarterback, generally, and maybe there'd be a player or two at a different position that would change my mind. From 31 to 25, that guy doesn't exist, right? Like it would have to be, you know, realistically in the top five of the draft, like one of the elite talents. To me, you stand pat or you trade back.
Beards, Celtics are only up by 12 going into the fourth quarter. Now you're nervous?
Not really.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I got a joke, guys. I got a joke. It's going to be real dumb. We are here that whenever Beards is on his phone, we are going to say no passa notes.
With Joshua Briscoe.
You're right. That was dumb.
I know it was dumb. We're here to say, ta, no passing notes in this class.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
A few things from the Twitch chat. You can watch the show live at the Sports Radio 810 Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube channels. But the Twitch chat's what I got up right now. I mainly want to respond to part of this because of the name of the user who left it, which is BroBraFrat.
It's a good name.
Which is an extremely good name.
It's very good.
Yeah.
He asked about kind of like Hardman's usage. What percentage of Hardman snaps was he asked to be the guy? What percentage did he fail those plays as opposed to when he was asked to fill a gadget role? I think at this point in Andy Reid's offense, the answer to that, even the premise of that question, probably answers the question that you're sort of getting at. Mm-hmm. I don't know how often Mecole Hardman was asked to be the guy. His role in the offense never really solidified, which you could follow that up with what Human Torch put out saying, you know, how would we be talking about Hardman if they would have had an actual offseason, a true offseason last year. He's had two full seasons in the offense. Like if there was some sign of growth in week 12 or 14 or something, or in the playoffs, or in Sammy Watkins' absence, whenever they would have loved for him to be more than a gadget guy, as BroBraFrat tweeted or posted. If we would have seen growth there over that time, but maybe it was stunted, maybe it was slower, I would be interested in that. And I would say, you know what, I think maybe he was, again, stunted by the lack of an offseason program and whatnot.
Yeah.
The issue is that I don't think the Chiefs have even really tried putting him in that space. Now, his third year, I do think there's something to say about a third year being a chance to take another jump, but at this point, I think it would also be very, very, very difficult for me to make an argument that Mecole Hardman's, like, true untapped potential, his true talent, it just hasn't shown up yet.
Yeah, and I don't hate the offseason take, but I think at this point it's safe to say that like if the Chiefs traded up to in theory to draft Mecole Hardman to in theory replace Tyreek Hill because in that moment they didn't know if they're gonna have Tyreek Hill or not. I think at this point, like again, maybe having a full offseason, which one he's not going to have this year. This is still going to be a little bit of a different offseason, so it's not like he's really getting the full offseason still. But to assume that getting a full offseason now all of a sudden, again, he's a DK Metcalf type of receiver. Again, I think there is some improvement with having more, maybe a more traditional offseason. But I don't think it's to the degree of like, again, like he, you know, of being a DK Metcalf guy, right? Like that. I at this point, I think it's safe to say that's just not who Mecole Hardman is. Can he get better? Absolutely. Can he become a competent, like can he become a good number two? Sure. I just think, though, again, you look at some of the guys who are drafted behind him, and it's clear. I think it's pretty clear he will never reach that level.
There's also a bunch of comments about the quarterback trade-up and, like, the Chiefs trading up for Patrick Mahomes. We literally started this conversation by saying, I do think yes. The rules are different for the quarterback. Even then, you will find teams that do move up for quarterback or who move up one spot to get Mitch Trubisky because they don't want to settle for Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. And you're going to still find yourself struggling there. But if you think there is a guy, you're like, this is the absolute guy, or you want to get within the range because you think a couple of those guys would ultimately make sense in that spot. Yeah, of course, that's a space that you can do it because you are not likely to find Tom Brady. You're not likely to find your quarterback in the third, fourth, or fifth round nearly as much as you're likely to find maybe your second or third cornerback or a rotational edge piece in that round.
Number two receiver.
The rules are different for the quarterback position, which I think we said at the very beginning of this segment. So whenever we come back, we'll talk about a lot of this and more draft stuff with Matt Connor of Arrowhead Addict next on Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.